Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the YouTube America TV network, or you might be listening on Biz Talk Radio. Glad to have you along. I'm Amy Fuller. Coming up, we are going to talk to an angel mom, a woman whose son was killed by an illegal alien, a drunk driver. And now this woman, Maureen Maloney, has this organization, Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime, where she tries to, well, just do this, to stop lawmakers from impinging on our laws and instead trying to enforce them. She now spent this week trying to stop one more state from giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens. We will chat with her. Also, we will talk about Christine Blasey Ford. Remember her? Her lawyer now says she was politically motivated when she made allegations against now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. We'll talk to Bart Marcoise, a former undersecretary to President Bush, about all that's going down right now. What does this mean? This is very, very alarming and disturbing. And, it puts a chill through anyone who might want to be appointed to, well, the Supreme Court or any sort of Trump administration when people are targeted as such. So a lot to go through there. Also trending in the news, Hurricane Dorian. It became a Category 3 for a time overnight, roaring back to life. Now back to a Cat 2, thankfully, still. Millions are under evacuation orders on the east coast of the United States. Winds up to 115 miles an hour, knocking out power to hundreds of thousands. Satellite images like this beyond belief. And South Carolina officials are giving updates on what's next.
Storm surge could reach up to 4 to 8 feet of inundation above ground level. So that's water above ground level on normally dry land in some of the coastal locations of Georgetown and Horry counties. Significant rainfall has already fallen as well. So far, we've seen amounts as high as 9.91 inches in Pawleys Island, 9.51 inches in Conway, 8.11 inches in North Myrtle Beach, and then we've seen anywhere from about 6.5 to 7.5 inches of rain down in the Charleston and Mount Pleasant areas. Storm total rainfall is expected to reach 7 to 15 inches highest in Horry, Georgetown, and Charleston counties, and this amount of rainfall could result in significant flash flooding. The Waccamaw River at Conway is expected to rise and crest at major flood level now, given these higher rainfall totals. The forecast crest is 15.5 feet late Friday night into early Saturday morning. The river will remain around 14 feet, which is still a major flood, for the next week to 10 days. And finally, at least two tornadoes were confirmed so far by the National Weather Service, one in North Myrtle Beach and the other in Little River, with one of the outer bands that moved through earlier this morning.
So a lot to think about as the storm surge, the flooding happens in the aftermath. But as for the hurricane itself, Dorian should be finished with the United States by the weekend. However, the death toll in the Bahamas rises to 20, and that is just what we know about. The destruction that is now evident is beyond comprehension. There's just no other way to say it. The prime minister, in fact, calling it generational destruction.
Our response will be day and night, day after day, week after week, month after month, until the lives of our people return to some degree of normalcy.
The airport there is destroyed, so that totally restricts humanitarian relief efforts and supplies from getting in. Some more pics of what Dorian left behind we're going to show you if you're watching on YouTube America as we head to break. Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller, and you're with the U2 America TV network, or you might be listening to us on Biz Talk Radio. Welcome to our new affiliates in Tampa, Dallas, Portland, and St. Louis, and others. We say hello to you. A bombshell development in the saga of Christine Blasey Ford and her allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, now, of course, a Supreme Court justice. The attorney for Blasey Ford says part of what motivated her client in coming out against Kavanaugh was political. In fact, it was trying to protect Roe v. Wade.
He will always have an asterisk next to his name. When he takes a scalpel to Roe v. Wade, we will know who he is, we know his character, and we know what motivates him, and that is important. It is important that we know, and that was part of what motivated Christine.
Those decades-old assault allegations almost derailed Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court, and it certainly put him and his family through the ringer. And an investigation, by the way, showed no evidence that her claims were real. Even some of her friends, whom she cited and said, ask them, said, we don't know what she's talking about. Talking now to Bart Marcoise, a former undersecretary to President Bush, who is also a career diplomat and contributor to Ops Lens. That's OpsLens.com. And Bart, so good to see you back. I got to tell you, when I heard that sound from her lawyer, my jaw dropped. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it tells you that these are activists who had a political agenda. What they did and said had absolutely nothing to do with reality. And you said something very important. You said an investigation showed no evidence. Actually, it was 8 or 9 investigations that showed no evidence because Brett Kavanaugh had been investigated by the FBI in background investigations many times before in his life, starting when he was still in his 20s or in his early 30s.
Right, for every other position, Bart, that he had been appointed to,
everyone.
He had been investigated. They found nothing.
Everyone. And an FBI background investigation is designed to find exactly this sort of thing. They talk to everybody. They talk to your high school friends. Mm-hmm. I got phone calls on my first background investigation. I got phone calls from people I hadn't talked to in 10 or 15 years. And they said, are you in some kind of trouble with the government?
Wow.
And they talk to everybody. And when they talk to them, they say, who else should we talk to? Is there anybody that, they don't put it this way, but anybody that has dirt on this guy,
right.
Anybody that has anything negative to say, we need to know all of that. The whole thing was bogus from the beginning. The only extraordinary thing is Deborah Katz is out there admitting it to this, whoever this select group of people are.
I certainly want to ask you why you think she said this now. And then just taking a look at so many people on Twitter saying she is so obviously lying. Criminal charges for these false accusations are needed. Men are not safe when women can just make things up from 30 years ago. And of course, Bart, it desecrates people who have really been abused and who want to come forward and say, this happened to me. And a few more of the people, because people on Twitter can sometimes say it best. Well, there's one. If liberals didn't have double standards, they would have no standards at all. And then James Wright tweets, she knew it was all BS. She should be disbarred and lose her teaching position. This is a Democratic playbook, says Rip Rose Safety. Dig up some slob to make a false allegation with zero evidence. And we'll show more tweets in a moment. But Bart, what you just said makes me want to reckon with this. With you, and I know you are a family man, I know you have a stellar reputation, but when someone, a friend calls you and says people are looking at you, did you do something? It has to make you say, wow, this is all just a little scary. Imagine Kavanaugh, we can't possibly put himself in his shoes, nor his family's. What he went through day after day, he didn't know what was coming from one day to the next.
Yeah, but I think that in Kavanaugh's case, I think he was uniquely prepared for that because he knows who he is. His wife knows who he is. His kids know who he is. And if you have that, nothing else matters. If somebody came out and said something about me from 30 years ago, nobody would believe it. I'm the same guy. I've been the same guy all my life. And we all make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes, but I wouldn't when people said, are you in trouble with the government? I laughed. I thought it was a great joke. And in fact, I had one guy who said, they're probably listening to us right now, so I won't even talk about, and then he went on to think of the most ludicrous things he could think up, and it was very funny, and I suddenly got a little nervous there, and I said, okay, that's enough, Sammy, that's enough. You don't have to keep going on. But the people I really hurt for are the, as, and again, this is something you just brought up, real victims of Me Too-ism, real victims of sexual assault or attack or innuendo or something, because this cheapens the coin. When somebody comes out and accuses Harvey Weinstein, mm-hmm. and there are hundreds of women who accuse him, you know, it's only going to take one false accusation for his attorneys to say, yeah, Your Honor, you know, this is just what they did to Brett Kavanaugh. And we all know that people can say things that aren't true. And it really raises the bar for proving assault and these difficult circumstances. Mm. It's also bad on young boys who haven't maybe learned the social boundaries yet and now never will get a chance to. And on young girls who are not sure now what is good and proper and healthy in relationships between men and women and between boys and girls. Everybody looks at everything now through this perverted sexual lens, and you know, they can't just be friends and goofing around anymore.
It makes me think of how we used to look at things through the lens of the Bible and the Lord, and now we look at it through that perversion. And also, you know, these children, these little boys that don't understand, we could do a whole segment later, Bart, on toxic masculinity. Parents and educators have to really instruct these children and get them away from listening to pop culture and media and Hollywood. It's just so much junk. Got a break coming up, Bart, but so much more to talk about. I'm going to ask you, because you say something about why is Deborah Katz's lawyer saying this now? Why is she doing it now? I hear there's a book involved, but also attorney-client.
It's all about money.
Right, right. But does this besmirch attorney-client privilege? And what about the next person to be nominated for the Supreme Court? So much. And also, the 7-hour marathon regarding climate change that CNN hosted Wednesday night, featuring all the Democratic nominees and who can be the furthest left. We'll talk about it with Bart right after this. Back with America Trends now, and Bart Marcois, former Undersecretary to President Bush and career diplomat and contributor to Ops Lens. We are talking about the attorney for Christine Blasey Ford, and it is clear, Bart, so many people did not want a conservative jurist to land on the Supreme Court, but to what end would they go to achieve this? And now we are finding out from Blasey Ford's own attorney that she was, she says at least in part, politically motivated. And as Wayne Dupree tweets, we always knew there was more to the story, didn't we, folks? Bart, does this do anything to attorney-client privilege? There's just so much in this mix, right?
Sure. Well, that depends really on Blasey Ford. If she feels like her confidentiality has been violated, then absolutely. But my guess is that this was a deal between them and that as if the attorney has permission from the client to talk about it, then she can say anything she likes. But you asked what motivated her to do this now. Yes, clearly it was money. You mentioned a book deal. She's probably also raising money for the next fight against the next Supreme Court justice. It doesn't matter who it is. They will come up with something to accuse her of. I assume that the next one is going to be a woman. It's probably going to be Amy Coney Barrett. Right. And, you know, look for the open season on Catholics to come up when Amy Coney Barrett comes up.
Boy, oh boy. I just don't know. Why is she doing this now? You think it's money and that book, but my goodness.
It's always money.
Yeah.
It's always money. In Washington, it's always money. They already have power. They need money to get more power.
I want to talk now about the climate change issue, which some people are saying, some of the candidates, this is a bigger issue than World War II was, and they're getting blowback from that. On Wednesday night, CNN hosted this mega 7-hour marathon where they gave each of the top Democratic 2020 presidential candidates some 40 minutes each to just go and sound off and take questions from the audience regarding climate change. We have a bit of video of one audience member questioning Joe Biden, and we will show it to you now.
I know that you signed the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, but I have to ask, how can we trust you to hold these corporations and executives accountable for their crimes against humanity when we know that tomorrow you are holding a high-dollar fundraiser hosted by Andrew Goldman, a fossil fuel executive?
He's not a fossil fuel executive. He is not a fossil fuel executive. And the fact of the matter is that what we talk about is, what are we going to do about those corporations? What have we done? And along everywhere along the way, for example, I've argued and pushed for us suing those executives who are engaged in pollution, those companies who are engaged in pollution. I've never walked away from that.
Okay, so Joe Biden speaking on CNN, along with, I think it was, Bart, was it the top 10 who are leading in the top 10 poll-wise for the Democrats?
Yeah, and I salute you for being able to watch it. I was planning to watch it, but I had paint that was drying, and I needed to watch that until it was completely dry. That was far more interesting than that painful 7 hours. Watching Biden handle that just made my heart sink, because he's the closest thing to anything reasonable in that has a chance of actually winning the nomination in that group,
which is hilarious. And just in that, indeed.
Yes, yes. And Biden is an idiot, and he's always been an idiot, and he's always been the dumbest senator in the Senate, and that was the rap on him when Obama chose him as his vice president. But seeing him last night and seeing him, you know, grasping at straws and saying, oh, well, you know, I've made it easy to sue these people. Sue them for what? For pursuing a line of business that's honorable and necessary, and that provides the difference between life and death, energy, affordable, reliable energy for everybody in America. These people are so stupid. They get these young people who've been fed nothing but lies their whole lives. They know nothing about how energy is produced. They know nothing about the cost, and they bring them up. And it's just like out of the Bible, saying, yeah, and a little child shall lead them. That wasn't a prophecy of a peaceful millennium. That was a prophecy of you know, the end days, that people will be so stupid, they'll pay attention to children. And that's what you see here. And then Anderson Cooper was ready with all kinds of backup facts to argue with Joe Biden. Although this was supposedly a town hall where they didn't know what the questions were going to be in advance. But, you know, Anderson Cooper had notes on this executive on his little 3x5 card and was all ready to debate Joe Biden on behalf of the kid once the kid had asked his planted question.
That Northwestern student you speak of, whom asked that question.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and then you have suddenly Joe Biden's eyeball fills with blood, and you think, you know, what, is he having another aneurysm?
Did that happen during the question?
During the debate. I don't know whether it happened during that question, but it happened right there during the debate.
Holy cow.
It was while he was on stage, his eye filled with blood. And I actually consulted some medical advice about that today, because I wondered, you know, does that really matter? And actually, it doesn't. It's not that big a deal. All it means is a little capillary under your lens burst, and so the whole part of your eye fills up with blood, and it looks very dramatic. But the medical expert said it actually is a sign of weak blood vessels, or possibly high blood pressure. And Biden has had brain surgery twice.
Brain aneurysms, right? Right.
Yes, yes, weak blood vessels. One that burst in his brain, and another one that was swelling up, and they did preventive surgery. They, as he put it, they literally cut the top of my head off.
Wow.
And poked around in there and then stuck it back on again. He's 78, 79 years old, mm-hmm. and you know, his blood vessels are weak. His speech is confused. He's always been kind of a dim bulb. And he's their front runner, and he's the one that is least crazy of the bunch.
Age was a huge issue when it came to Ronald Reagan because he was conservative, so people wanted to point that out, people on the left. But with Joe Biden, I think they are maybe at this point more concerned about some of his, well, they used to call them gaffes, but he seems to be having real memory problems.
Mm-hmm. Where is he? He doesn't know the difference. But, I mean, you're in Keene, New Hampshire. I've been in Keene, New Hampshire. I went there to help President Bush, 43, campaign for his very first presidential election. And believe me, you know you're in New Hampshire when you're there. You don't make a mistake like that thinking you're in Vermont.
Right.
You know, telling the story about pinning the medal where he got every single detail of the story wrong, including his own role in it. You know, that probably wasn't a gaffe. That was just classic Joe Biden telling lies and plagiarizing other people's honor and other people's ideas.
I was just going to say, to be continued, because I'm sure there's going to be more to talk about next week. 20 seconds, but I know you wanted to mention about Marianne Williamson's figuring out that leftists are mean.
Oh, yes. You know, she's a fairly decent, nice person, and she said in her own way, just as Christians pray that hurricane would move away from the coast, she encouraged people to meditate or pray or do whatever they could. And when it started moving away, she said, look, it's working. And she was filled with venom attacked by people from the left. She said, I had no idea they were so mean and so rude.
Last words, Bart. Thank you so much, my friend. Do you think illegal aliens should be able to have driver's licenses? Well, many people say no way. And when you look at the statistics about the crimes and the killings done by people who are on the road, they're not supposed to be here, they don't have licenses, it really does give you a reason to pause. Our next guest, Marie Maloney, is an angel mother. She lost her son to a car accident by an illegal alien. He was struck, her 23-year-old son Matthew, struck, then dragged a quarter of a mile to his death. Since then, Maureen has become an advocate for enforcing immigration laws in the United States of America. She is a founding member and vice president of Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. And Maureen spent part of this week testifying in Massachusetts trying to stop the legislature there from allowing illegal aliens to get driver's licenses. Maureen, welcome back to America Trends.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you so much for being here. So this was a joint House Senate hearing on legislation filed by two Democrats there. And we see the back of you there that would have let illegals have Massachusetts driver's licenses. It's a proposal called the Work and Family Mobility Act. And there you are holding up a picture of your son, Matthew. Maureen, what happened this week?
So yesterday was the hearing, and the room was packed. The media is reporting there were 600 people there in attendance, and there were about 10 of us there opposing the driver's license bill for illegal aliens.
Lost Maureen there for a second. Maureen, I think we lost you, but I think you came right back. Is she there?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Can hear you now.
Okay, so the room was packed with about 600 people, and most of them were bused in by the other side. Close to 600 people were from the other side. There were only 10 of us that were opposing the driver's licenses for the illegal aliens. You know, it's really difficult for our side. Most people work. This was the Wednesday after Labor Day, a lot of schools, it was the first day back to school. So they made it very challenging for people to be able to show up.
You know, there's a term called bleeding heart liberals, and that makes me think of the people who came and supported the other side, the people who bust them in. But what about the bleeding hearts for the hundreds of people who have been killed by illegals here just on the roadways? That doesn't include other crimes.
Right. You know, absolutely. What happened to my family can happen to any one of us out there. I never expected it to happen to my family, but it did. These illegal aliens have no right being in the country. They have not been vetted. We don't know what their criminal record is. We don't know what their health history is. And all these deaths by illegal aliens are preventable because these people should not be here.
Maureen, and just on that note, just to add some facts behind it, and some besides the anecdotal, heartbreaking anecdotes and true stories that you hear all the time as vice president of AVIAC, some 26% of federal inmates in our penitentiaries are illegal aliens. So our tax dollars are supporting this for one thing, but you just it's mind-boggling.
It is. And, you know, these people who could barely speak English, and some of them couldn't even speak English and needed a translator, were up there with these bleeding heart stories about how they need to get to work to support their families. Well, they're not entitled to a Social Security number. So how are they working? They're either using a fraudulent Social Security number or they're working off the books. They're talking about how they need to get their children to specialists for doctor's appointments. Who is paying for their health insurance? We are, because they're all on Medicaid. You know, we're paying for everything. We're educating their children, and this is costing taxpayers billions of dollars each year.
So, Maureen, I'm going to talk to you in a few moments about what exactly happened with your son, Matthew, for people who aren't familiar. I also want to talk to you about Kate Steinle's admitted killer. The only conviction against him was thrown out in recent days by a California appeals judge, California appeals court. So much to talk about with you about this just hazardous, heartbreaking topic. But what happens now? You testified. This was Wednesday. Do they go talk about it and then pass a resolution or pass a law? What's going to happen next?
Well, this was the Transportation Committee who will be making the decision on whether it moves forward and there's a vote on it, or, you know, whether they just let it go and don't push it any further. Most of the people that respond to the news stories, you know, the posts on the news stories and are all opposed to illegal aliens getting driver's licenses. If you were at that hearing yesterday, you would think the whole state is supporting it. I don't think it has anywhere near the support that they appeared to have yesterday. I even heard that they were paying people to show up yesterday.
Wow. Did you have some people there who were just so thankful that you traveled? Where do you? What state are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay, so
It was a two-hour ride to get into Boston yesterday. I sat there for 6 hours listening to these sob stories, which tears open all my open wounds, because these people are concerned about temporary separation from their family when I'm living with permanent separation for my son forever.
Right.
But it, you know, I do it because I want to prevent other families from going through what my family's going through. I don't want anyone else to lose their lives at the hands of illegal aliens.
Do they have any good points at all? We know I'm in California. We are, you know, so many sanctuary communities here, sanctuary state, on the Mexican border here in San Diego. So we have, this is ground zero somewhat for this type of thing. Did anyone there make any good points about, well, at least if we grant them driver's licenses, they'll have to pass tests so we know that they've got some sort of, you know, background in our laws, but still these people are illegal?
You know, they did not present any factual data yesterday. You know, there's, what, 15 other states that grant driver's licenses now, including the District of Columbia.
Really? Wow.
They did not have any factual information supporting giving a driver's license other than these sob stories. However, I had data from the National Transportation Safety Administration that shows that in California, the 3 years that they were collecting data that your state has been giving out driver's licenses, fatalities have gone up double-digit percentages.
Wow. Is that so?
Yes.
My goodness. I mean, the numbers are right there, right, Maureen? It just has to be heartbreaking. You know, we hear these things on the news when it's reported because we know it's very difficult for municipalities to get the numbers from them. You hear about these crimes and no one wants to report, by the way, it was an illegal alien, undocumented immigrant, however you want to term it. But you're on the front line, so you see the real news stories and the real facts and the reports, the police reports, probably every day.
I do. I mean, I scan the news. I do look for these things. And then I have people who are constantly sending me things from other states. So I am immersed in it every day. You know, it's horrific what is going on a daily basis. And the media just covers it up. You know, I've learned that there's a few key words to look for in a news story that kind of gives you an indication that this person might be an illegal alien. And then if you follow up on the story down the road, you'll see that he had an ICE detainer put on him or something like that to confirm he was an illegal alien.
An ICE detainer, which Kate Steinle's admitted killer did not have because the sheriff let him go. He was out and he was able to murder her. And now his conviction overturned. We're going to chat about that after the break with Marie Maloney, vice president of AVIAC. I happen to follow you on Facebook at AVIAC USA, and you will cringe at the reports there. Check it out. Here with America Trends, Maureen Maloney's son was struck down early in his life by an illegal alien, struck by this illegal's car, then dragged a quarter of a mile to his death. Maureen is now spending her life trying to educate people about the life, the toll, the crimes done by illegals in the United States of America. This is her with her son, Matthew. Maureen, before we talk about Kate Steinle's killer being his conviction being overturned this week because of malfeasance by the judge, apparently, in California, tell me about your son, Matthew. When did all this happen? I can't imagine there's a worse heartbreak.
This happened August 20th, 2011. And, you know, ironically, this morning I got a message on Facebook from a man that Matthew went to college with during his freshman year of college. So that was 11, 12 years ago. And this guy just reached out to me because he saw me on the news last night with the driver's license bill. And he just wanted to tell me that he only went to school with Matthew for 1 year and he dropped out, but what a great kid Matthew was, how much fun he had with Matthew, how much Matthew thought of his family. And this, you know, this guy offered me his support. If there's anything I ever need, he gave me his phone number to contact him. And, you know, these things are just so heartwarming, but it goes to show you how much Matthew affected people. Matthew was one of the people that when he walked into the room, you know, he had this big smile that lit up the room and his beautiful blue eyes, but he just had this charisma about him that attracted people. And he was best known for driving around town and, you know, giving a thumbs up or a peace sign to everybody that he passed, and everybody knew him.
So, Maureen, this is about 8 years ago you've been living with this. And what were the circumstances that you raised your son, you saw him turn into a man. He's not a kid anymore. He's a man, and he's just at the genesis of his life and what's going to happen: marriage, children, your grandchildren, and then his life snuffed out. It sounds dramatic, Maureen, but no one can understand this sort of circumstance, to have someone, your child taken away, the worst thing of all, but then for someone who's not even supposed to be in the United States of America at all.
Yeah, so the night before the accident, there was Matthew and I texting back and forth, joking, and, you know, then the next morning I went to work and I never saw him again. That day was a Saturday and he had gone to help a friend work on his mother's car. And he was on his way home in a residential area. It was a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. It was a summer evening, and people were out barbecuing. And Matthew's killer was drunk, driving without a license, and had his 5-year-old son in the truck with him. And he ran through a stop sign and collided with Matthew. And it was a low-impact collision because it was a residential area. And Matthew survived that. But then the illegal alien fled. And when he did, he ran over Matthew, and Matthew got stuck under the truck and dragged to his death.
So he was struck. Was he on foot, motorcycle, bike, or a car?
When he was initial collision, Matthew was on a motorcycle. So he landed on the hood of the truck and rolled off. He was standing up the road when he was hit the second time.
Survived the collision. Then this illegal, who was drunk, tried to flee because he knew he was illegal. Shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be driving, certainly. And certainly shouldn't be drunk with his child in the car. And Matthew was dragged. And by that maneuver, by that turn of fate, he perished. And it took you a while to find out these details, didn't it?
It did. It did. And it probably was a blessing. I was initially told Matthew died instantly because it was a truck that hit him on a motorcycle. I found out a few days later it wasn't instantly. And then over time, the details did come out.
Marie Maloney is the vice president of AVIAC. You can find it at aviac.us, and they're very active on Facebook and Twitter. Day after day, I see these horrific crimes committed by illegal aliens that you will not see anywhere else, certainly not in the mainstream media. But Maureen, one thing we are hearing about this week is that the killer of Kate Steinle, from back, I think it was in 2015 when she was gunned down, a California appeals court has thrown out the only conviction of the illegal immigrant who admitted to firing the shot who killed her in San Francisco. This man had been deported back to Mexico 5 times. He was a 7-time felon, heroin junkie. His conviction overturned because of certain instructions not given to the jury by the judge. You just had to be beside yourself when you heard about this week.
Oh my God. What an atrocity of our justice system. First of all, he's a felon. He should never have been in possession of a gun. I don't care if he found it. He obviously knew it was a gun. You know, being a felon, it wasn't the first time he ever had a gun in his hands. I just can't believe what's going on in the state of California there. My heart goes out to the Steinle family. Not that having a conviction would ease their pain, but there's some comfort in knowing that the person that killed your child is off the streets and can't harm somebody else.
Yeah, you mentioned the heartache for her family. In fact, her father was with her when this happened, and he said that she looked up at him and said, "Help me," and he couldn't. She succumbed to that gunshot by this man who again admitted it. And you have to say, why isn't he incarcerated just for being here illegally, let alone all these other things? But the fact is, he was in a sanctuary city. The sheriff had him in custody. When he was let go, he did not alert ICE. There was no detainer. And then, and only then, did it happen that he went on his way in life and took the life of Kate Steinle.
Right. In the prime of her life, she was a young, vibrant woman, you know, working, looking forward to a future. And I just can't even imagine what it's like for her father, because I know I didn't see my son get killed. But I have horrific images in my mind of what did, you know, what I imagine that he went through. So I can't even imagine for Mr. Steinle, having been there and not being able to save his daughter, the horror that goes on in his mind.
Kate Steinle and her father seen here. Maureen, about 40 seconds left, but I have to ask you, you've been dealing with this heartache and being on the front lines for 8 years, because it's been about 8 years since Matthew was killed by an illegal alien. It has to do your heart good to see President Trump saying, we are building this wall no matter what.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I met President Trump for the first time in 2015 when he was candidate Trump. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, Matthew's death will not be in vain. And he has remembered Matthew every time I have seen him since then. In fact, Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime is going to be in Washington, D.C. in 3 weeks down there with the sheriffs, and we're going to a rally on September 20th.
Hey, Maureen, will you keep us posted on that? We're out of time, but we thank you for being here and can't wait to hear what happens next, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Amy.
You're going to get a bear. Are you trying to hide? I still see you.
girl.
Glad to have you with us here for America Trends, and want to remind you, you can find us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. That's the mothership, our mother network. And also, we are available on Biz Talk Radio and all the affiliates there. And podcasts can be downloaded, or you can live stream the programming that's going on right this minute. Same with U2America. Check out all our programming on the network, and you can grab some of our featured shows. Like here's Sully and Russ on The Big Biz Show. Very good stuff. Paula Deen on there. We have Pawn Stars. Also, Ivana Cadaver on Saturday night. So we love to have you. And we say thank you so much to Marie Maloney and Bart Marcois for being here with us and chatting about their expertise. So thanks so much. Finally tonight, entertainment. We are just a few weeks away from a big release from Walt Disney Pictures, Maleficent. It is Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, of course produced by Walt Disney, a sequel to the 2014 film with Angelina Jolie returning. October 18th is the release date, and we have a look for you as we say goodbye for now.
5 years ago, I thought I lost you forever. There is no curse that could ever tear me away from you. Will you marry me?
Yes.
Mistress, I have a little bit of news.
Don't ruin my morning.
Philip asked me to marry him.
No.
I wasn't really asking.
Nor was I. Love doesn't always end well, Beastie.
Trust me. Let us prove you wrong.
You have done an admirable job going against your own nature to raise this child. But now she will finally get the love of a real mother. Tonight, I consider Aurora my own.
There will be no wedding.
What have you done?
We go home now. Aurora!
Maleficent is a threat to everyone. We'll do our best to protect you.
Well, well.
One can never be too careful.
You do not know me.
Tell me what happened.
There was another creature.
You've spent years caring for a human. Now it's time to care for your own.